God has given us in the Bible. As Seventh-day Adventists, we believe in following the Bible and finding everything that we believe from here. And I pray that you've been blessed through each of these messages. But just a huge thank you to each of you for being flexible today with the way our facility is today. That's a huge thank you to you. A huge thank you to all of you who are working over the past week, to Terry Mundy for all he's doing in coordinating this, and for Clayton and Cody and Zach, who are working tirelessly day in and day out. So much going on here throughout the week as this place is under construction. And we just praise God for all that's been given so that this can take place, so that we can have a place where we can worship God more comfortably, more just be able to invite people to a place where they can really experience Jesus. Such a blessing to have that. So thank you guys. I so appreciate what you do. As I begin this morning, I just feel a need for each of us to offer a prayer to God, that he would speak to our hearts. So, I mean, really, whatever I say, it's not going to change your life. But what God speaks to your heart through the power of his Holy Spirit, that can change your life in a way that you'll be forever thankful for. So let's pray again as I start. Father in heaven, I just thank you. Thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. As we've sung about it this morning, we recognize your goodness to us. We recognize all that you've done for us. We recognize that we're here to worship you in this place because of what you've done. Oh God, we just want to take a moment in the silence to open our hearts to you, to ask that you would speak through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would be transfixed by a vision of Jesus this morning. Thank you for your promise that when two or three of us are gathered in a place like this, that Jesus, you actually come here. The presence of your Holy Spirit, you are actually in this place, and you want to bless us, you want to transform our lives in ways that we have never experienced before. Oh God, may we be open to receive what your word has for us this morning, is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, construction of a place to worship God is nothing new. When you read through the Bible, this was often the obsession of people in the Bible, to build a place where God could be worshiped. People were willing to go to any length in order to make a place that was acceptable for the worship of God. You read about it all the way back from when Moses builds the tabernacle and he calls the people to bring their offerings in order to build this tabernacle in the wilderness so that God's presence could dwell in the very midst of the camp of Israel. This is the holy God coming to dwell down amongst a bunch of rebels who had rebelled against God repeatedly and who continue to do so. And he said, I'm going to come and I'm going to live right in the midst of you. Why don't you build a place for me to live with you? You go on through history. I love the story of David. David, as he looks at his palace, he looks at where he gets to live, and he says, my house is lined with cedar. My house is this amazing house. I have all of this, and God is still living in a tent among us. He says, God, I want to build you a house. God ended up telling him that no, his son was going to build him a house. But David said, well, okay then, I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing whatever it takes to cut down trees and bring them down here and to get all the gold, all the silver, everything ready so that my son, when he goes to build this house, it's not going to be just a small house. It's going to be the most magnificent house so that the glory of God, the presence of God can be in our midst. David went all out in seeking to build this temple for God. And it's interesting when you read some of the Psalms. As you read through the Psalms, you can almost taste David's love for for the presence of God. Just how desperate he was to be close to God, to be in his house, to be in the presence of God. Open up your Bible to Psalm chapter 27 in verse 4. Open up your Bibles, or if you're on your cell phone or your iPad, just go ahead and scroll there to Isaiah 27 and verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. In Psalm 27, David says that there's one thing that he's looking for. What's the one thing in your life that would complete you? What's the one thing that you're looking for in your life? If you had nothing else to ask for, what would be the one thing that you would ask of God? If you could have anything, what would you ask of God? Here's what David, a man after God's own heart, in Psalm 27 and verse 4, he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." David said, if there's one thing that I could possibly have, I just want to be in the presence of God for the rest of my life. I just want to dwell with God. I just want to be there with God. And when you read some of the other Psalms, you realize why that was. Because in Psalm 16:11, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, he says, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David had experienced God in such a way that he realized to be in his presence was so fulfilling that he didn't need joy from any other source. He was so full of joy that there was nothing else that could possibly complete him. He had everything he needed because he had God. He said there were pleasures forevermore. Everything that could delight him was in God. David was the one who said, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." If you read through the Psalms, other people wrote Psalms, like the sons of Korah. If you go to Psalm chapter 84, they too expressed this earnest desire just to be in the house of God, just to be in the presence of God. Psalm chapter 84, in verse 1. Psalm chapter 84, in verse 1, the sons of Korah write this: "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Can you hear the passion in their hearts? They're desperate for the presence of God because they have experienced something of being with Jesus that was so transformational, that was so full of joy, that so rocked their world that they wanted nothing else with their lives but to be with God. You go on reading, they compare the house of God to any other place they could possibly live. If you go down to verse 10, it says this: "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. Think about what he just said. A day in your courts is better than 1,000. Is there any place on earth that you would like to go and it would be worth it to you to be there for just one day rather than being able to be somewhere and live somewhere for 1,000 days? Maybe there's some place you can think of, but this is the sons of Korah are basically saying it's 1,000 times better to be in the presence of God than to be anywhere else on the entire planet, than to be anywhere else. Just to be with God is 1,000 times better. Goes on to say, "I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God." I'd rather be a servant, just there opening the door, letting people in, letting people out, just serving God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Rather than to have feasting and to dwell, to enjoy and to be served in the tents of wickedness, I would rather be a doorkeeper, a servant in the house of my God, because it's so much better in the house of God. Under construction. David was passionate about building a tabernacle. You find again and again they were always seeking to build this temple. They were seeking to rebuild it after it was destroyed. And today you still find people who want to rebuild the temple. But God had something way better in store than just some temple where people could go on a pilgrimage to visit it three times a year, a few times a year. God had something far better in store than that, because when you get to the story of Jesus, and in John chapter 1, it says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus came down, the Almighty Son of God, the God of the universe, who could speak and worlds came into existence, the breath of his mouth created stars. That God stepped down off of his throne. He came to a little planet called Earth, and he said, "It's not good enough to me to simply dwell among them, but I want to unite humanity with me forever. So much so that I am willing to come down and take on the form of a human being and walk among these humans, and forever to take the form of a human being for the rest of eternity." Jesus wanted that badly for you to have his presence, that he came down and he tabernacled among us. Incredible. But yet, as you read through the Gospels, this was a powerful thing. When Jesus would walk through a village, you read about the multitudes who would flock to him. Pretty soon he couldn't even go in villages anymore because people just wanted to be close to Jesus. It talks about in Luke how when you came close to Jesus, you were sick, that power would come forth and it would heal you. Jesus had everything to offer you. If you were sick, he could heal you. If you were blind, he could give you eyesight. If you were poor, he could fulfill your needs. He could feed you if you were hungry. If you died, if your loved one died, he could resurrect them. Just to be in the presence of Jesus, people were willing to give up everything. You read about the disciples who were so radically obsessed with following Jesus that they gave up everything just to be with Jesus. They said, "I just want the presence of Jesus." So they left their boats, they left their homes, they left their occupations, and they followed Jesus. Because Jesus had come to tabernacle among us. But here's the awesome thing. That wasn't good enough for God. That I don't just want to come and walk among them. I don't just want to come and take on a human body, this sinful human form that had been degraded for thousands of years. He came and he lifted us up so that we could be connected with divinity again. He didn't just want to come that close to us. Jesus, in John chapter 16, he said to his disciples that, "I'm going away, and I'm glad that I'm going away, because if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not come." You see, Jesus went to the cross, and at the cross, he won a victory so powerful that when Jesus is lifted up, when Jesus is glorified, that he wants to take his presence in our lives to an entirely new level. Not just enough to dwell among us in a tabernacle. Not just enough to walk among us. But as 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, or 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, he wanted to walk in us. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you so much to Danny and Jake for reading the scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us something radical. This place that throughout Bible history was sought, because here in the presence of God was fullness of joy. Here in the presence of God was every good thing. It says in Psalm 84 verse 11, "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Right after it talks about dwelling in his courts, it says it's so good because he's going to give you every good thing. He's not going to hold anything back from you. No good thing will he withhold from you. This temple is no longer a place that we can go to on earth. Jesus is no longer here physically walking on earth that we can go and we can find him. It's better than that today. We are more blessed than the disciples. We're more blessed than Moses, because today, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body Take your hand. Look at it. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. You see, Jesus went the distance for you and for me. He went to the cross that we just sang about. He purified us by his blood because he wanted to be closer to you. He wanted a more intimate relationship with you. He wasn't content just to dwell among you. He wasn't content to walk with you. He wants to live in your heart. He paid an infinite price to do that. It cost the life of the Son of God to redeem us from rebellion against God, because sin separates us from the presence of God, Isaiah 59 verse 2 tells us. We're deserving to be separated except for the grace and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, except for his blood which covers us from our sin. We have no right to the presence of God, but because of the price that has been paid for me, the price that has been paid for you, we have every right to have God himself living in us. That presence that Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. It can be in us constantly. That's something that no one can ever take away from you. No matter what you go through in life, no matter what somebody says, no matter how they treat you, no matter what they do to your physical body, no matter where you live on this planet, nobody can take away the presence of God from you except for you. We all have the choice. Will we be inhabited by the God of the universe? Will we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Will we be filled with that fullness of joy, that fullness that's so full that we have no room for joy from anywhere else? Will we be filled with the presence at whom's right hand is pleasures forevermore? You know the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. If we just stopped right there, what would my life be like if I always had love, I always had joy, I always had peace? And this is my gospel privilege. This is the good news that Jesus Christ has come to give me: love, joy, peace. Friends, we have an incredible message to give to the world. That Jesus wants to fulfill everything that people are desperately looking for. You drive through Modesto, and I don't know if you've seen the billboards lately. There's a billboard for Prius. Now, it says, get happy, and it has a picture of a Prius there. So I've been driving along, and I'm thinking, huh, if I get a Prius, will I be happy? I could drive along in my Prius, and I'll just be so happy because I've got a Prius. Now, no offense to you Prius owners. I'm sure it's amazing. I'm sure it's really quiet. It's a great experience. You know, the gas pumps aren't so addictive to you. But I don't think you're happy because of your Prius. You know, this world tries to sell us all kinds of things to make us happy. It's what everybody's looking for. Everybody just wants to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be completed, to be filled with joy. And God is telling us, he says, the Holy Spirit will fill you with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's what he wants to fill us with. It's what Jesus died on the cross to give us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We continue reading on in 1 Corinthians 6 in verse 20, it says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because you've been bought at a price. You're not your own anymore. When I choose to follow Jesus, when I choose to go his way, my body now becomes His. And I choose to say, God, I want you to live in me. I want you to live out your life within me. Like Paul in Galatians 2:20, I say, I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life is no longer my own. My body is no longer my own. And so it tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, glorify God in your body. You know, a lot of Christianity sees this dualism in our spirituality. A lot of the Christian world views our body as something totally, it's almost like Greek dualism, where you have your soul and it's something that's holy, something that is to be dedicated to God. And then you also have your body, but the picture in Scripture is that our bodies are absolutely foundational to the presence of God. When we're talking about being under construction, when we're talking about being filled with the presence of God, the Bible tells us that your body is the temple of God. Meaning that my body is as important as what David was so desperately trying to build. Is what he was willing to go to every extent to collect all the gold, to go far distances, to cut down these amazing trees, to bring this wood, to make this amazing temple, all that he was willing to do. My body is to be a temple for God, so that God can live in me. It's an incredible thing. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 says, so then whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do all to the glory of God. See, I am a temple for the Holy Spirit, and I have a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to build this temple in such a way that it glorifies God? Is my body going to be used in such a way that it's holy for Jesus? It's not for me anymore. It's not for my own pleasure. It's not for me to just do what I want with anymore. Because I want the presence of Jesus so badly. Because I recognize that there is one thing that really matters. And that is to be in the presence of Jesus and to have the presence of Jesus in my life. If you go to 1 Corinthians, just turn back a couple of pages, chapter 3. In verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? He has to keep repeating this, keep reminding them that you are a temple. Your body is a temple. It's important what happens with your temple. You know, if you think about it, as we're rebuilding this sanctuary, and week by week we come back in and we're wondering, what happened? What happened? Oh, there's a sound booth back there now. Oh, all the carpet's gone, and next week we're going to see the sound system come in, and we're going to see the audio and visual come in, and we're going to see these things progressing in here. Imagine if you come in next Sabbath, and you walk in here, and sitting in the corner over there, we've placed a statue of Buddha in the corner of the church. What? What did you do? Why is the statue here? What? This is a temple for God. What are you doing putting this stuff in here? It has no place in here. Imagine Terry would be getting a lot of phone calls. What's going on? We don't worship Buddha. Somebody might say, well, look, haven't you heard meditation? It kind of, you know, it gives you peace. It gives you a little bit of relaxation. And so we're thinking we could just kind of have a corner where people could go after church, after we talk about the Bible, after we talk about Jesus. It's not that important. It's in the corner, but that's a little place where we can go to get some extra joy. It doesn't work that way, does it? We don't separate part of our church for anything else. It's all for God, or it's nothing for God. Friends, it's the same way with our bodies. Look at what it goes on to say in verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, And what is the temple? It's our bodies. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. See, God desperately wants us to be pure and holy sanctuaries for him to dwell in. He wants to be able to come close to us with his presence, but as we've learned over the past few weeks, his presence is a consuming fire to sin, and if we choose to cling to sin, in the end, it's going to work out our own destruction. And so as I go about building this temple, it's really important what goes into the building of this temple, right? Would you say that the building a temple for God, building this body in which God is to dwell in, this is an important thing? Is that pretty clear from Scripture so far? God wants to dwell in us, and he wants to fill us so full of joy. You know, I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist. And so growing up, I actually was a, this isn't a requirement for Seventh-day Adventist, but I was a vegetarian growing up. And so I didn't eat any meat growing up, but I can tell you that I didn't take very good of my care of my body as a kid. It didn't matter that I was a vegetarian. Because you know what? Some of my favorite things were cookie dough ice cream and Pizza Hut pizza. And McDonald's egg and cheese biscuits hold the bacon. These were some of my favorite things to eat. And if I had the choice, when we went out to a restaurant, we'd go out to different restaurants, and my parents would be like, what do you want to eat? You want to try a salad? You want to try this dish with vegetables in it? I'd say, no, just give me cheese pizza. That's what I want, is cheese pizza. You see, I was trying to follow what I believed was something important, and all along I was killing my body. I was loving to eat stuff that was really wrecking my body. I was kind of a hefty kid. I was a rather large kid. I wasn't in very good shape. And as I got older, I continued to seek to bring pleasure to my body through the stuff that I put in my body. I remember at one point, I learned that you could get a sugar rush from sugar packets. And so my friends and I were someplace where there were a bunch of sugar packets. And so we took as many sugar packets as we could, and we poured them under our tongues to just get that rush for a little bit. You know, it's okay, sugar, nobody says not to eat sugar, so we'll just get a sugar rush, we'll get a sugar high. Well, that wasn't good enough, so pretty soon we found out about going to the coffee shop, and then you could tell them to add shots, and so we would see how many they would let these kids add to their coffee, how many shots they would let us add. And then we'd take the coffee, and we'd drink it, and we'd be like, whoa, this is wild. I never really had much caffeine, let alone this much. Wow. Just trying to find a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of joy. I was missing all along what Jesus promised. He said, in my presence is fullness of joy. In my right hand are pleasures forevermore. Just to be filled with God's presence, just to be a temple for him, would bring me pleasure. You know, as I got a little bit older, I found out about drinking. You know, I was talking to somebody this last week or so who's been drinking for 40 years. Been addicted to drinking for years and years and years, struggling with it. And I was talking to them about it. I said, is there any other reason that a person drinks besides to feel better? He's saying, no, not really. You know, that's really what it comes down to, is looking for something more, looking to feel a little bit better, looking, you're not satisfied, and so you're looking to feel better. Well, I was in high school, and I thought, you know, maybe it could loosen me up a little bit around the girls. So I tried it, dabbling a little bit in drinking, and then it became something that I became obsessed with for, it was a little less than a year, not a very long time, but I would even drink when I got to school. because I wanted to have a good day at school. I wanted to feel that feeling all the time. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to be filled with joy. And I realized that here was a source. Yeah, sure, it lasted just a little bit of time, but at least I felt good. At least I was happy. Isn't that what the world is looking for? To feel good? To be happy? Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. I love this. You see, we're so prone to substitute what God wants to do in our lives for something that is so cheap, that is so degrading, that just ends up leaving us feeling empty again and again and again. When God wants to fill us with fullness of joy, He wants to fill us with pleasures forevermore, He wants to delight our souls with Him, with who He is. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine." And it doesn't go on to say, just drink a little bit instead. It says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. It's a waste. It leaves you empty afterwards. It leaves you sometimes with a hangover. It leaves you wanting more. It leaves you craving more. It says, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. But what does it go on to say? But be filled with the Spirit. Do you see the contrast here? He's making an exact contrast here. He's saying you can choose to try to fill the temple with something that you think is going to manufacture joy for you, with something that you think is going to manufacture the pleasure that you're looking for, or I can come and I can live in you and I can fill you with fullness of joy. You can choose to have the substitute of this world, or you can choose Jesus. You can choose to put in the corner of the church an idol in the corner of the church, or you can choose to give it all to Jesus. I can choose in my life to live my life in such a way that my body is holy for His glory, in which I say, I'm not going to put anything in my body which is harmful. You know, I'd often figure that for my life, what really matters is you do things in moderation. Whatever it is, just do it in moderation. Well, if I take arsenic in moderation, is that going to be a good thing for my body? Is that going to facilitate my body becoming a healthy place for Jesus to dwell in? There's some things that are simply harmful. And the only reason Jesus ever asks us not to take something into our bodies is because He wants what is best for us. What did Psalm 84 verse 11 say? It said, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Jesus wants to give us everything good. He wants to fill us with fullness of joy. He wants to give us everything that will satisfy, everything that will fill us up to overflowing. Friends, nothing satisfies like Jesus. Nothing fulfills like Jesus does. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Again, throughout the New Testament, you find that the driving emphasis is on being filled with the Spirit, on being filled with the presence of God, on being a dwelling place for God Almighty, because when we're filled with God, we're filled with joy, we're filled with peace, we're filled with love, we're filled with everything that we're looking for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 16, it says, rejoice always. You know, after the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, it talks about in Acts 13 and verse 52 that they were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That's what being filled with God does. It brings you joy. It brings you satisfaction. It brings you all that you're looking for. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then verse 19, something crucial. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. See, the picture in the Bible is that there are some things that I can do that will limit the Holy Spirit from working in my life. That will limit the presence of God in my life. And you know, for most of my life, I haven't been very sensitive to this at all, to what this even is like. But more and more I'm realizing that there is a cause and effect between everything that goes on in my life and experiencing the presence of Jesus. My body is a physical temple for the presence of God, and everything that I put into my body either has a positive or a negative effect towards that end of being filled with the presence of Jesus. It goes on to say, do not despise prophecies. Don't despise the things which have been written, the things which have been written about the Spirit, about having the presence of the Spirit. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. I've begun to realize for my life that I have to test everything. And I have to say, did this bring me closer to Jesus? When it was late at night and I had that Pizza Hut pizza, and I just ate an entire extra large cheese pizza. And the next morning when I woke up, did I feel like getting up and reading my Bible? Was my heart sensitive to Jesus? Did I feel like praying after I ate that pizza? I don't know how you feel afterward. I sure don't feel like praying when I've eaten like that. When I've just crammed my body with more than it can handle, when I've overwhelmed my system and it can no longer take any more, I realize that this limits the presence of Jesus in my life. And you know, that's a hard thing, because naturally we just want to be fulfilled. We want this joy. We want this pleasure. But I'm beginning to realize something, that the presence of Jesus satisfies. You know, Jesus is our example, and Jesus had this in his own life. You find in John 4 with the woman at the well. He talks to the woman at the well, and after he's done talking to the woman at the well, the disciples come to him, and he'd been hungry, so they'd gone to the village to get food, and they come back to him, and they bring him some food, and they're like, Jesus, you gotta eat. And Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. To Jesus, he was so delighted in doing God's will that it so fulfilled him that he wasn't even hungry anymore. And in John chapter 6, Jesus said that we needed to feed on him. He said in John 6, verse 34, he said, anyone who comes to me won't hunger anymore. Everyone who comes to me and believes in me will not thirst. All the cravings, all the stuff that they're looking for, if they come to me, if they feed on me, if they come to me first, I'll so fill them with joy, I'll so fill them with satisfaction that they're no longer needing to look for joy, for satisfaction anywhere but in me. Friends, this is what Jesus wants to do in our lives. And I'm not a perfect example of it. I have a lot of room to grow, but I'm beginning to realize that there's nothing like having the presence of Jesus in my heart. That I want nothing so bad to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That I'm willing to give up anything to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm realizing that, like Job said, he said, I have treasured your word more than my necessary food. I'm realizing that when I wake up in the morning, that before breakfast, something far more important to me than that is to open the Bible, because as I read the Bible, I realize that Jesus fills my soul with such joy, such pleasure. And when I go to eat breakfast, it's good. I enjoy it. I enjoy lots of good things. I love bananas, in case you hadn't noticed. I love all kinds of good things to eat for breakfast, besides bananas. But when it comes down to it, that stuff's never going to make me happy. No matter how many bananas I eat, I will never be happy because of that. Only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus can fulfill the wants, the needs of your soul. Only Jesus brings us life. Only Jesus can give you what you hunger for. Friend, I don't know what it is for you, but as you think about your life, is there something in your life where you're tempted to say, you know, I just can't live without XYZ. If that sentence applies to anything in your life, as it has to so many things in my life, I'm realizing that that's simply idolatry. Because only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus will fill my soul. And so if there's something that I think I can't live without, I need to ask Jesus to send me his Holy Spirit in such a way that I'm so delighted by God, I'm so fulfilled by God, that I'm filled with self-control, and I no longer want that in my life. If as I go through my day, I think, you know, if I just had this, it would make me happy. Or this would pick me up, or this would get me through the day, or whatever it might be. What if I turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, I know you're the one who can pick me up. I know you're the one that can fill me with joy. And I choose not to have any other substitute besides Jesus. I just want the presence of Jesus, because this one thing I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Just to be in his courts is better than a thousand days otherwise. It's 1,000 times better to be with Jesus, to have his presence, to have his Holy Spirit in our hearts. Friends, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist in part because I realize that in the Bible it says that my body is a temple, and that as a temple, it is the place where Jesus wants to dwell through the power of his Holy Spirit. But I've come to realize something, that even though I'm proud of what has taken place, in that they've done studies and we're featured on the news, there's the blue zones that talk about how we live 10 years longer on average because of health practices. I'm realizing that 10 more years of life isn't going to satisfy me like the presence of Jesus. I've also realized that I see too many of my friends. I've seen too many people die despite living a healthy lifestyle. It's not enough to just want to live long in order to eat healthfully. It's not enough just to want to be skinny or to be strong to eat healthfully. You know, that's good, that's well, but the one thing that matters is that my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, and that I can be filled with energy and strength to get up early in the morning to seek him with all my heart, to find Jesus, because Jesus satisfies. Jesus fills us with joy. Only Jesus matters. Friends, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage myself to take an inventory of my life. Is there stuff in my life that I'm trying to find satisfaction from, that I'm trying to find joy from, and it just keeps leaving me empty time and time again? Is there stuff in my life that I think I can't live without putting it into my body? That really, all that I need is Jesus. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. As I close, I just want to have a time of prayer. And in that time of prayer, I just want to leave a time of silence just between you and God. And I want this just to be the beginning of what we do, of saying, God, is there anything in my life that's separating me from you? Is there anything that's keeping me from being a sanctuary for you to dwell in? I want to be conscious. I want to make a conscious note of the cause and effect. After I eat a meal, am I more amped to pray? Am I more likely to read my Bible? Or did that meal lead me in such a way that I no longer want to worship my God? I want to be sensitive. I want not to quench the Spirit. I want to abstain from everything evil, because no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that though we are sinful and weak, that you are such a God of grace and mercy, that you came and you wanted to dwell among us. But you weren't content with just dwelling among us. You said, I want to walk among them. Even that's not enough for you. You said, I want to make you a temple I want your body to be a temple that I can come and live in, so that I can fill you with love, I can fill you with joy, I can fill you with peace like you've never experienced before. Lord God, we confess this morning that all too often we've tried to substitute a whole bunch of junk for that joy. God, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of doing that in my life. I just want Jesus. I pray that now you would speak to us in our hearts, Lord, that you would reveal to us any ways in which we can build our temples in a way that, in your temples, that they will glorify you. I pray that you would also impress us with anything that needs to be cut out, anything in our lives that's hindering you, that's separating us from joy everlasting. Thank you, Jesus. May this just be the beginning of our seeking to be the best temple we can possibly be. Lord, as we make commitments, we're weak and frail, and I've made 1,000 commitments that I've broken. But may we, in the strength of Jesus alone, find victory in such a way that your Spirit can fill us like we've never experienced before. God, we're living in a world that is desperate for something more, desperate to see love, desperate to see joy, desperate to see peace in such a way that they've never seen before. Oh God, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit even now? Father, descend on us. I pray that you'd fill our hearts, you'd fill us with fullness of joy this morning. Lord, as we go through this week, may we continue to be sensitive, to not quench your Spirit, but to be filled with joy, to be filled with the presence of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May you be filled with joy as you go through this week. May you be a temple that Jesus can walk in, that the Holy Spirit can fill you with fullness of joy. God bless you this week as you continue the construction.